Hello, everyone, and welcome to our mentor call today with Emily Gomez. And a little bit later on, we have Portia Yip. But for this recording, we're going to be talking with Emily, and I'm so excited to dive in. So before we do that, though, let's just take a second or a few moments to let ourselves settle in and know that we're in the right place, because there's been a lot going on in the world. And might be nice to just calm down and really come and arrive in the call together. So if it feels nice for you and comfortable doing so, you might like to close down your eyes or just soften your gaze. And we're going to take in some nice deep breaths and just come into our bodies and feel the see what you can feel against your skin. See if you can feel any breeze from a fan, or perhaps the weight of your bottom on your seat. Just paying attention to any little sensations that you can feel on your body, on your skin. You might like to turn your awareness to the sounds that you can hear in your environment. Just do a little scan and notice, what can you hear? And then let's turn our attention to our breath and just take a minute to just gently lengthen that in-breath and softly exhale. And take another couple of nice breaths in. You might like to say a little congratulations to yourself for carving out the time to be here this morning. It takes organization to put things aside so that you can show up live on these calls. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And it's so wonderful to see everyone here. I'm delighted that there's so many people live. Welcome, everyone. So today we're going to be chatting with Emily, and I'm really excited about this because I think this subject of business systems is one that can feel like learning a foreign language, particularly when we're first starting in business. It's like, what? I know when I first had a mentor, I was wondering, what the heck is a system? I had a really abstract idea in my head of like these floating pieces of a machine all trying to connect together, and I had no idea what he was talking about. So we're going to dive into that. And I'm going to do a little, I'll introduce Emily officially now. So Emily is a business systems strategist. She is a tech goddess, intuitive problem solver, and magical process architect. Oh, I love that. She works with women coaches, healers, and heart-centered entrepreneurs who want to grow their business with ease and grace. After 13 years as a process improvement specialist and IT analyst, alongside 8 years of running her own coaching and healing business, Emily now uses her skills to support women, business owners, or woxmen. I never know how to say that one, you know, be the trendy WOMXN, so it's inclusive, business owners in creating businesses that flow seamlessly and expand sustainably. Through strategic systemization, documentation, and process design, she makes her clients' day-to-day simpler and more enjoyable so they can spend time in their zone of genius and free themselves from the worry of dropping the ball. Yes, can we relate to that? She takes a holistic approach to business and weaves in her experience as a certified life coach, yoga teacher, Reiki practitioner, and crystal healer to help you and your business reach the next level with potent systems and processes. So thank you so much, Emily, for joining us here today and being willing to share your experience. You've got so much to share.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Wonderful. So for those who aren't super familiar with your work, would you please begin by telling us a little bit about you and the work that you do?
So like you said, I'm a business system strategist. I've worked in the corporate world for many years, always something around processes. And even when it wasn't in my role, I ended up working on processes because I'm all about making things easier. Because I always found in the corporate world and even in, I guess, in the entrepreneurial world, people end up doing a lot of things that is not their zone of genius. And so then get easily bored or frustrated. So I want to help people get away from that frustration to go back to what they actually enjoy doing. So I did a lot of that in the corporate world, and a couple of years ago, transitioned to doing that in my own business after I realized that I actually love doing this stuff, and realizing that a lot of entrepreneurs don't know what systems are about or how to set them up, and end up being very frustrated, and then sometimes even give up on their business, which is a shame because, you know, usually when we start a business, we have that passion for it, and we're all here to change the world in some ways. And so I just want to help people get their message out there.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you also have, I was reading through your website, you trained as an engineer and have 2 master's degrees from 2 universities, one in mechanical engineering and the other in manufacturing engineering and management. So you definitely know how to create systems and processes that work. It's amazing.
Yeah, I do.
So what are you, let's maybe just jump straight into seeing a little bit more about, as I mentioned, I didn't understand what a system was when I first started the online business. And it seems like to me it was perhaps a checklist, or it was going to be a bullet point list, or it was going to be pieces of software communicating to each other. Could you give us some kind of idea of the tangible things that systems are and what some of the most important ones that you can see are for particularly solo entrepreneurs?
So you're right, systems is a very confusing word because it can be used in so many different ways. So everything you've described is to some extent a system, but I'll give you first the definition, like the generic definition. So it's a set of principles, practices, and procedures that are applied to specific activities to achieve a specific result. So I guess a checklist can be a system, but I like to think of it as more holistic, like what part of it's part of something maybe bigger, what goal is it achieving? So think about for example, a lead generation system. So what do you need to do what do you need to have in place and do to generate those leads? So it's not necessarily just something you have to do, like a checklist. It's also what do you need to have in place. And I find that usually you can break it down into 3 different things, and not all systems will have those 3 components, but it helps to think about it in that way. So you have the organization bit. So what do you need to organize? So think about the file storage, the naming convention, how to store things. So that's how do you organize your work. Then you've got the procedure stuff, so or the process, so the how-to steps, and then you've got the tools. So what you can also call the IT systems. So and that helps you do the work. So that's the 3 things to me that will make make a business system. And again, you don't have to have all 3, but that helps to think about all 3 components when you create your business system.
Could you just say those 3 again? So there was the organizational, so organizing the information, and then the second one was
process. Uh-huh. The process, so the how to, the steps, and then the last one is the tools. Such as like your Asana, your Trello, your Planoly, and all these apps than platforms that you use to do your work.
That's great. I love it. It's so helpful to have things just compartmentalized sometimes and put into categories. Oh, that's what that is. Okay, so that's an organizational system. So like a CRM, so customer management system might be fall into two of those, I suppose, would be the...
Yeah, exactly. So when you think about your CRM, for example, so you have, how do I organize my contacts with my clients in there? What information do I need? So I need more than their name. I need maybe their business name and their email address. So that's more the organization part. Then you've got the steps. So how do you update your CRM? So when do you update it? You know, is that whenever someone contacts you, then you add them to your CRM? What's the process potentially to move them from a lead to a client? So you'll have all the steps to maintain your CRM. And then the tools. So what tool are you using? So you can have a Dubsado, you can have a simple spreadsheet, your Google contacts. So there's different tools that you could use as a CRM. So always, yeah, you can think of those three aspects.
That's amazing. Ellen's saying that she's felt like she always hears about processes and felt like she didn't have any systems. But actually with your explanation, she has lots of systems, organizational and IT, just not written down. So the processes are there, but they're all in her head.
Yeah, which is the case with a lot of entrepreneurs that are just on their own and don't have a team yet. We tend to have everything in our head, thinking that we do the work. Why do we need to write it down? And so it's useful to write it down sometimes just to get it out of your head, because you've got so much up there to remember. Especially for those processes that you don't do very often. So things that you might be only, you know, once a month or every quarter or something like this, you might want to write it down so that you don't reinvent the wheel every single time. Because I've sure been down that path of, oh yeah, I did that 3 months ago. Oh, as I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I think I did that not long ago and I should have written it down. So and so that's what we call the SOP, so the standard operating procedures. That is definitely part of the system. So it's, you know, writing down your systems, really.
And do you have any tips for creating an SOP? How do people write it down, or can they record things, or have you got any handy?
Yeah, so I think recording is a great way to do it, because often I think the thing that stops us from starting our SOP is I don't have time to write it down. So just simply record yourself doing it. There's lots of apps these days where you can, you know, screen record yourself. So just record. And then just save it somewhere where you're going to find it easily. So give it a proper name and save it somewhere where you can find it. So either on your Google Drive or on your laptop, and make sure you actually use it. If you change your process somehow, make sure you then re-record that video. If you're not keen on videos, you can do just screenshots. And so highlight those bits that, you know, where you think it's important, or you can just simply write it down like as bullet points. So different ways depending on what you like and how you like to work. A lot of people use Google Docs to do their SOP. I personally don't like it because I like to have things compact, like very clear and like short document. And if I've got my SOP in a Google Doc, it's just too long and I just get overwhelmed by opening it. So breaking it down into multiple Google Doc could be an option, but then it's finding the right file. And then it's also, that means that I'm juggling between the Google Doc and something else. So I, at the moment, I use ClickUp, which is my go-to for my business. So that's the work management, project management side of things, but it also has documents in there. So everything is written there. So as I'm doing a task, I can link, I can open the document if I need to, or when I create a task, I can link to the document. So if I have a team or when I have a team, then they can easily find everything in the one place. I don't have to have multiple windows open, because again, that overwhelms me. So I get overwhelmed really easily. So everything in the one place for me, and that's way better. And I've had a lot of people complain about Google Docs, where they tend to do just that brain dump, and then they just get confused and they don't know how to organize information in a way that is easy to see.
That sounds amazing. So I've never heard of ClickUp. Ellen said that she loves to use it as well. What is it that's different about ClickUp exactly in the way that it organizes the information?
So usually people will start using ClickUp as a replacement for Asana, for example, mm-hmm. or Trello. So the difference with ClickUp is it's a lot more customizable, so you can set different statuses so for different projects. So an example would be, I have a simple checklist, for example, that just a to-do done, but I have things where that maybe project-related stuff that are maybe bigger, so I can do a to-do in progress on hold blog or done. So then I can manage different pieces of work differently, especially for the content. I really love it because for the content, I can have, you know, writing, editing, designing and things like this. So that helps me. So that's just the project side of thing. Then it also has different levels. So where in things like Trello or Asana, you might have only a couple of levels with the project, your tasks, and your checklist. ClickUp has different levels. So you can group things even at a higher level. Mm. Then you also have the documentation part in it. So I know a lot of people, when they use Asana, they also write their SOP in Asana as checklist. But sometimes it's not enough, and you don't want to have to tick everything every time. So the difference in ClickUp, you have a documents part. And so that's where it's simply like a Google Doc, but it's inside
it.
ClickUp. So, and then you can link everything together. You also have goals, which I love. I basically set up all my goals for 2021 in there. So again, I don't have to go somewhere else to look at, oh, am I on track? Am I not on track? I have that there. It's got lots of other stuff, dashboards and lots of other stuff that I love. So to me, it's the one tool that I really can't do without.
Mm.
Everything is in there. My business plan is in there, so I can easily refer to it. On that point, I have found over the years, you know, when I do a course or a training or something, a mastermind, you know, there's always questions about who's the ideal client, who, you know, like, what's your strategy, and always had a new Google Doc for that, and like, oh, I feel like I've done that already, where is it? And either finding that document, but never really necessarily updating that. And now what I found with ClickUp is I've got everything in the one place. My business plan is there, my ideal client avatar is in there. So whenever I get the question again, it's okay, let's go to that document. I know where it is, I can update that. And so I feel like now I have a business plan, whereas before it was just bits and pieces everywhere. So another reason why I love it.
Great. I can see that you love it. excuse me. Sorry, I'll just... Ellen says it's like... It's like Asana on speed dial. And yes. She also said that she hasn't played with goals function yet and would love to see a little tutorial of how you set that up. Not now, but perhaps later.
I was going to do an Instagram story about it, actually. So here's my motivation to actually do it.
To follow you. Watch your stories and we'll find out all the inside secrets. That's amazing. Thank you. So we've already started talking about your favorite tools. Are there other tools that you, what are some of your favorite business tools and what wouldn't you want to do without?
We'll obviously definitely click up Google Doc, Google Drive, or Google Workspace, I should say, is another one that I use quite a lot now. I never used to like it because I didn't want to have everything in the cloud, but more and more I found that two things. So it creates separation between my life and my business, because everything that is life related is saved on my laptop, or because everything that is work related is on my Google Drive. So that's sort of, I like how it's creating that separation between the two. Whereas before, everything, even though I had folders and everything organized on my laptop, I feel like now it's better that way. And also in terms of collaborations with people, whether it's with my coaches or mentors or with my clients, it makes things a lot easier. But also have, you know, being mindful about what I do put on my Google Drive, and I do have some clients that don't want to use it, so I have to find other ways to work around that. But yeah, definitely click up Google Drive, the two, or Google Workspace, I should say, the two things I couldn't do without.
It sounds like they do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you might have other like add-on tools, such as an email service provider and...
Well, I use Google. So because I've got the Google Workspace, which used to be G Suite, that is the email provider. So so Google Workspace is Google. It's like the Gmail account, but the paid one. So for businesses, so you can have your own email address, your own domain. And so it does everything. And then in terms of website, I use Squarespace. And then I think that's really the three things. So click up Google Workspace and Squarespace, three things I use mostly.
Does it do mail outs like MailChimp or MailerLite?
Which one?
I think she was asking about Google, but perhaps
no, Squarespace. I don't think it does. Not at this stage, I'm sure. Something at this stage.
So when people sign up for your newsletter, it goes into Squarespace, and then how do you write?
No, I do use MailerLite. I don't use it that often, so that's why it's not necessarily a tool that I wouldn't say mention as, you know, I need that. But yeah, I use MailerLite.
Cool. And what about, this might be a little bit outside of the realm of business systems, but any sort of way of managing the financial side of your business or systems and tools that you like to use?
Yeah, so I guess in terms of systems, so my process is I do it once a week. I do my bookkeeping once a week to stay on top of things, and I use Xero. I used to use Wave, but obviously they're no longer supporting Australia, so I moved to Xero. And then the way I do it is I actually have a task in ClickUp for every Friday morning. I've got that time block for everything money related, so invoicing, bookkeeping. And so then I know Friday morning, it's not something it's in my head about, oh, it's Friday, I have to do it. I've got that as a task, and so I have to tick it and be like, yeah, done it. So that's part of my system to make sure that I do it regularly. Otherwise, I can see myself just skipping it. And then so do invoicing first, just making sure that invoice had been paid, and doing any invoicing that needs to be done. Again, everything through Xero, and then just doing the reconciliation of my accounts.
That's wonderful that you do it.
I do also... monthly, I do a cash flow spreadsheet. So I haven't really found a tool to help with that. So I do have a spreadsheet, like a Google Sheet, and I just update my cash flow so I know where it's at, and I've got that forecast in there. And that sort of forecast / budget in there. So, but I do that only once a month. And again, I have a task to remind me, okay, it's the first Friday of the month, so it's time to do that.
That's great. Yeah. So important to have an idea of cash flow and have a way of tracking that and being able to forecast as well is excellent.
Yeah.
So is there any kind of audit type of process that we could use just to see what we can do to streamline our work? Do you have any suggestions there of how we can stop dropping balls?
Yeah, so So I have created a checklist that's on my website. So that gives you, so I'll just ask you questions and where you are at on different systems, how you feel about it. And so that will highlight specific areas where you might need to zero in and look at what you can do to change that. Another way, if you don't want to download that, is to start thinking about where are you spending too much time? Where are you frustrated when you do something? What frustrates you? So that will highlight those systems that are not working for you. And then start thinking about, so let's say, let's take emailing your, like doing your newsletter. It takes you too long. You feel like it takes too long to do. So then it's like, so how would you like it to look like? So what's your ideal situation? And then work backward from that and see, okay, that's where I'm at and that's what I want. So what can I do to achieve that? And are there some compromises I need to do? And go back to those three components I talked about. So how do I need to organize things? What are the steps I need to do? So and starting from the start, then start, so what's next? What's next? So you make sure you get all your steps, considering everybody, not just yourself. So consider your clients, your suppliers, anybody in your team, because sometimes we do focus on ourselves and we don't necessarily think about everything else, but there might be times where we need to think. Even when we think it's not relevant, just ask the question and make sure it's not relevant. And so that's for your process. And then in terms of the tool, then maybe it's also time to change the tool that you're using. So making a list of everything that you need and that you want in a tool, and also prioritizing that in terms of this is a must-have that would be just a nice to have. So then you can go and compare all those tools and see which one would work best for you at that point in time. Also potentially thinking about growth, but don't think about growth in 5 years' time. So don't invest necessarily in a tool that does it all right now, because you're going to be overwhelmed, you're not going to use it, and it might not be relevant when you're actually at that stage of growth. That tool may no longer be relevant anyway. So just stick to a tool that actually works for you right now and maybe for the next 12 months, but don't invest in something, you know, 4 or 5 years down the track.
That's really wise advice. Yeah. The investing part as well as the breakdown of steps that you're describing there as well. I think it can be easy. We can see people further down ahead that, and think, oh, I need to have, you know, Entreport or whatever it might be, because that's what we can see the people, other people doing. And also, like you say, they can be, there'll be new things developed by the time you're at that stage, quite likely. So it might fit you better then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when do you see folks benefit from setting up automation in their business? So what sort of stage of business? Is it early, mid, later? What are your thoughts about that?
So I don't think of it as a stage in business. Because, you know, you can be very early on in your business and have clear processes, and in that case, definitely set of systems and automation. Or so I think about it more in terms of the maturity of your process. So how long have you been doing something, and is it stable enough? So, or are you tweaking it every single time? Because if it's something you're tweaking every time you do it, then it's not ready for automation. So definitely have systems from the start, but they can be manual. And then once you've been using that system for a little while and you're happy with the way it works, then think about, okay, how can I automate? So that's usually that steps, that process part. How can you automate that process? And so it can be, yeah, it's like I said, it's not necessarily relevant in terms of your stage of business, but more for that particular process, how mature is it?
I'm so excited with that answer. I wish that I had have known that when I was starting out, because I used to try and document things down. You know, I had a mentor that said that I had to write everything down and make checklists, and exactly what you're describing. My processes were changing so fast that it was pointless and it was a waste of time in a lot of ways. So,
yeah, and that's where maybe, you know, in that case, it might be more relevant maybe to record yourself rather than writing, because writing can take a lot of time. So record yourself, because you don't necessarily want to reinvent it every time, so at least you've got it there. And once you feel that it's stable enough that you're not tweaking it so much, maybe then spend the time writing it out, and then think of automation. But definitely you need to have some sort of documentation even at the start, so you don't reinvent everything all the time, because that's what I often see people to spend time thinking about, okay, so what's my onboarding process? And they may not onboard clients very often. So then the next time it's like, oh, yeah, I'll have to onboard a client. And then they do it again. And then they tweak something or they do it differently. And then it's like, oh, I forgot this step. Or I wanted to do that and I forgot to do that. Like, it becomes like inconsistent as well. And because they don't know what their process is, then they tend to procrastinate. So that's what I often see, is that, oh, yeah, I know I need to do that. Like, someone, you know, reach out to me, we've had a call, but I don't follow up because I don't know what to do. Or I know I should do it, but I don't have an email ready to go. And by the time I really think, like, by the time I really think about it, it's too late, it's been too long. And so having, it doesn't have to be detailed steps at the start, but having some sort of an idea of what you're doing is still helpful.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking personally, I certainly have found having an email script document, so something that I can copy and paste from other replies to emails in those sorts of stages, has helped me so much over the last few years. Yeah,
and templates are definitely a type of part of your system. So, you know, that may be more on the organization side of things, but how do you know? Because you have that system, so you have something that is repeatable that you can do all the time. So what parts can you reuse? So templates are a big time saver.
Ellen's asked a question. She said, when should folks outsource the setting up of /maintenance of systems, and what should folks expect when outsourcing that?
So I'd say again, it depends how mature your system is. So you don't necessarily want to hire someone to get everything set up for you at the beginning if you don't have any idea of how you want to work, because the first question that they should ask you is, how do you want it to work? So I take the approach that there is no one size fits all. So the system really has to be specific to you and how you like to work. So yes, there might be best practices and better ways of doing things, but to start with, you have to understand how the person likes to work. So if you have no idea about how you like to work, someone like me can come in and help you and guide you, but potentially you're going to start using that system and be like, actually, it doesn't work for me. And so you would have spent a lot of money setting up something that doesn't work. So I'd recommend you've been in business for some time, or at least that one system, you've used it quite some time, you're happy with the way it's working, you just want the input from someone in terms of automating it or improving it. But you already know how you want to work. And what you expect when outsourcing that, I'd say you definitely want then a system that obviously works for you. So depending on, you know, what you're paying for, you know, some people will just set it up and then it's up to you to maintain it. And you know, it's set up. You don't necessarily have time to test and try it, so they won't necessarily tweak it. And so that could be an issue. So I'd say make sure that that's something that is included in what you get, so that the person is not just setting it up for you, but they're also available to make tweaks for you over a certain period of time. So what I do is I've got, for example, I've got an offer where it's, I've got one day where I can set up something for you, and then you've got 4 weeks of support. So if you want to tweak things over these 4 weeks, then we can make those changes, because sometimes it's only once you start using something that you realize, actually, that's not how it should work. I thought that's the way I wanted to, but it's not. So, but again, I'm only talking about tweaks, not redesigning the whole process. So, yeah, I think that's something you should definitely expect when you're outsourcing, is making sure that that person knows, like, is available to make those tweaks.
Thanks, Emily. I think those are great tips. Yeah, the, having the availability of outsourcing. Ellen says good advice. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Because we've got a few minutes left with Emily for her conversation. So please dive in. You can unmute yourself if you'd like to ask, or type it away in the chat. Terry, what are your thoughts on Trello, Emily?
So I used it when I first started. I haven't used it in a long time. I know they made some changes recently. What I don't like about it, and that's just a personal preference, is the board view. So at first, there was that, oh, I love the board view. It's very easy to see. But I've realized that when I have a lot of tasks, and I have a lot of tasks, it's just very hard for me to see things. But I think that's a personal preference. I think it is quite limited in some of the things it can do. So I know when I was using it, it didn't have automation. You had to add an add-on to have it. I don't know now. I know they've changed that slightly, but I don't know how much if you need to be on the paid plan to get the automation. So I do use a lot of automation in my ClickUp, for example. So when I move a task there, I want that to happen. And so it also depends on what you like to do. I think to get started with project management, Trello is great. Something like ClickUp could be very overwhelming. So I think it really depends on how you like to work. And if it works for you, stay with it. That's the thing, is with this or any tools, if it's something that works for you, regardless of what everybody else is saying, if it works for you, stay with it.
We can get shiny ball syndrome, shiny object syndrome, can't we? Otherwise, look at that, a new system. We could try that. Yeah. Ellen mentioned that what she likes with ClickOn is you can toggle between board view and list view and calendar view. And she thinks maybe Sana does that now but when she first started using ClickUp, that was novel feature. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Asana only released that recently. So they did have, at some stage, only list, then they introduced the board, but you couldn't switch between the two. You had to have one or the other. Now you can switch. But it's quite limited compared, like the columns in the board are very limited. Say, whereas in ClickUp, you can just change that, like it's just a filter or a sorting. So it's like, oh, I don't like it that way. I don't want to see my columns as the statuses. I want to see that as a task category, for example. You can do that, so you can do so much more. But yeah, like Evan is saying, it can be very overwhelming if you don't know what you're trying to achieve. Like any tool, if you don't know what you're trying to achieve, it will be overwhelming.
Great question. Thanks, Terry. And do you have any thing that you would like to share before we wrap up, Emily? Is there something that you feel is really important that everyone should know about business systems that they often don't, for example, or anything you want to share?
No, I think the key point is, like I just said, like if you have something that works for you, like a tool that works for you, just stay with it. Don't just change because someone told you, oh, ClickUp is great, so I'll go and get ClickUp. No. And then make sure the tool, it suits you. So I know some people, like we mentioned before, you know, they're just starting and already investing in Ontraport or Kartra. I think that's an overkill because they most likely don't use all of that, especially given the price tag. And so being mindful about that in terms of, are you paying for tools that you actually don't use? Because when we start, I think we tend to sign up for a lot of tools, create a lot of accounts, and end up potentially paying for things that we don't use, or we don't use the full capacity or all the features. So that's maybe something to review as well. And if you don't have that already, I definitely recommend creating a list of all the systems that you use, and being clear about what you use it for, and what plan are you on, and if it's a paid plan, when does it renew? So you make sure that you review it a few weeks before looking at, are you still using that? Yeah, so that's, I'd say that's my tips.
I think that's so wise. Yeah, so wise. I like to have, I found that, yeah, all these subscriptions were taking $10 here and $12 there. And then I ended up putting them all together in my spreadsheet, you know, what those tools were, so that I would just automatically look and say, am I still using that? And pay attention. Like you say, it's so easy for things to build up, isn't it, in terms of payments going out for things that we're not using.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we may use it, you know, at the time we really need to upgrade. So an example is, for example, HelloSign. So I use for contract signing. So you're limited to 3 a month, I think, on the free plan. So sometimes, oh, you need the fourth one, well, just upgrade. But if you can, just upgrade for that month. And then go back to the free plan. Same with something like Zoom. If you don't need to have meetings with multiple people, then you don't need the paid plan. And when you need that, then just upgrade for that month and then downgrade. So just tips to save money if that's something you're concerned about. If you don't mind paying for it, just go for it. But things like that, we're constantly reviewing what are we actually using, and are all the tools that you're using and your system actually, are they actually making your life easier? And if they're not, then it's time to review. And start, don't be overwhelmed by that. Like, start with your core processes, that the thing that you do all the time. You know, there might be a lot of things that are not working for you. So don't think you have to redo your whole business. Like, okay, what is the one thing I do all the time that's not working? And then work your way down that list of things that are not working.
Alan says, I also have a running list of tools I want to check for specials on Black Friday that I make sure to check out on Black Friday to see if the thing I was thinking about or I'm using the free version of has a great deal on Black Friday. That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's great. I have something similar with all the like things I want to do or training I want to enroll in, because I used to just bookmark things, but anyway, now, again, everything is in ClickUp. I have a list of all the training I want to do, all the apps I want to use. So it's also helping with budgeting in a way, because then, you know, when I do my planning, it's like, is there any, where do I want to invest? And is there any training I want to do, any apps I want to invest in? And I can factor that in my budget.
Do you use the free version of ClickUps? Or is there a paid version?
No, I upgraded. It is, which is one of the funny things that all of us that use ClickUp always say we would have never spent that money on Asana, and yet ClickUp within 5 minutes we all upgraded, because it's so good that it is so good that you don't mind spending that money, and it's a lot cheaper than Asana anyway. The business, not the business, but the middle plan, I can't remember the name of the plan, is actually pretty cheap. It's only $4 a month. And you can do so much with it. But you can also get away with the free the free plan as well if when you're just getting started.
That's great. Well, thank you very, very much, for sharing everything, Emily. I think we're going to have to wrap up here, even though I'm sure we could talk like for ages more about systems and find out more detail. We need to honor everyone's time and honor your time as well. Thank you so much for being willing to share all your expertise and be a mentor for the Dental Business Mastermind.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really loved it. Thank you.
We've loved it too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go and check out ClickUps, even though I'm not meant to be looking at shiny objects, but I'm so curious now. Thanks. Terry says thank you for very helpful and great info. And yeah, we really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to actually press